Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about television. You know, that thing that sits in your living room and demands your attention for hours at a time? That thing that presents the image of the beast to you and to your children? Television is evil. There's no two ways about it. It's demonic. Even the so-called Christian programs are suspect when it comes to a true comparison with the Word of God. Many of them are flat-out antichrist in nature. But whether or not the current Christian programming is good or bad is not the point. The television programming you see is inherently evil. It's junk. Now, you may be offended by what I'm saying, but then you must remember that you yourself have probably discussed the wickedness of television programs with other Christians from time to time. I'm fairly certain that you yourself don't have any doubts that most of television is really bad, but you probably have a hard time accepting any suggestion that the programs you watch are bad. Just about every Christian I've ever talked to has complained about the violence, foul language, and nudity on the TV and in today's movies. Movies and TV have come a long way since the early days, but then just about every Christian I've ever talked to, while they complain about the evil of television and movies, are also quick to defend their own television watching and insist that they are very careful what they watch. They will assure you that although the television and movies are very bad, they themselves only watch good programs and good movies. Many people insist that they only watch the Discovery-type channels and the news programs and therefore defend their television watching from this standpoint. They never stop to think that the power of television and movies goes far beyond their own ability to choose good programs. It's more than just some violence, swearing, and nudity. The silver screen, whether it is in the movie theater or on the television set in your home, is an invention of the people of Earth, and they have invented the moving picture at the direction of the second beast of Revelation. Now, stop and think about what I just said. I want you to be very sure that you heard me correctly. I said the invention of the silver screen, whether it's a TV set or a movie screen, is an invention of the people of Earth, but an invention that was brought about by the inspiration of the second beast, which is specifically described in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Most of you probably don't read much of the Bible's prophecy books, but some of you who are listening do. I'll try to explain myself so that both you who are aware of these portions of Scripture can understand as well as those of you who don't read or study prophecy. First, remember that the program you're listening to now is called Scripture Beneath the Surface. We call it that because that's what our program is about. We like to look at Scripture closely in order to see as much of the hidden things as we can. Without understanding the symbolic examples of Scripture, much of Scripture remains hidden. Anyway, if you can, try to follow my train of thought. When I finished explaining the concept of the television and movies, then you can think about it and decide for yourself what you believe. First of all, I want to point out specifically the verse in Revelation chapter 13, which refers to television and movies. You may not see it right at first, but please bear with me. These verses are referring to the second beast. The first part of Revelation chapter 13 describes the first beast that rose up out of the sea. Then, starting in verse 11, it describes the second beast which rises up out of the earth. Now let me read verses 14 and 15, and we'll see what the Bible is trying to tell us concerning what is taking place through the influence of this second beast. Talking about the abilities of the second beast, it says, "And deceives those who dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." Now listen closely to this part. It says, "Saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and yet lived. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." Now, notice that the second beast causes the people of earth to create the image of the beast. And also, this second beast has the power to give life to the image and to cause it to speak. What the Bible is describing here is the invention of animated graphic images. They move and they speak. This is a current day invention that has taken place in our lifetime. The images that appear on the television or movie screens are more than just still pictures. The images are animated. The images move. They move and also speak. The graphic images you see on the television and movie screens are images which demonstrate the beast nature, which is a complete opposite of the righteous nature of God. It is Satan that the Bible is describing in animal terms. Satan is the serpent, or serpent in the bottom of the sea. He is Leviathan, the sea monster. He is the dragon, or the great red dragon. Even in Genesis, he was referred to being more deceptive than all the other animals. The reason Satan is referred to in animal terms is because he has been given a beast nature by God until the mystery of God is completed on earth. The nature of Satan is completely contrary to the righteous and loving nature of God. Satan's nature is animalistic. He is evil. He is without the ability to reason properly that God is the Almighty God. Satan, displaying his beast nature, is opposed to the righteous nature of God, and if he could, he would pull God down from his heavenly throne and put himself on the throne of God instead. Satan is no better than the animals of this world, and God has caused him to be just that, an animal, because he rose up in pride and began to claim that he could become as great or greater than God, and that he could do it by the strength of his own ability, without the power of God. Satan has claimed that God is not really all-powerful and is not really the almighty and everlasting supreme ruler. The devil has rebelled against the ultimate authority of God and has launched an attempt to unseat God from his throne and place himself on that throne. Therefore, God has caused Satan to be turned into a beast. Now, hold on a minute. I know what your initial reaction is, but take a look at Daniel chapter 4, and you will see that King Nebuchadnezzar is the symbolic representation of this. King Nebuchadnezzar also began to claim that his kingdom was the result of his own might and power. God used Nebuchadnezzar to show us the concept of what is taking place in this world through the working of Satan in the earth. Just as God turned Nebuchadnezzar into a beast, Satan has also been given the nature of a beast in order to demonstrate the all-powerful nature of God. King Nebuchadnezzar is the symbolic form of Satan. Just as Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, Satan is the king of Great Babylon. Just as Nebuchadnezzar was given a beast form until seven times passed over him, Satan has also been given a beast form until seven times passes on earth. Notice that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't turned into a beast for 7 days, 7 months, or 7 years, but for seven times. It is this seven times that is significant. Now, we know that it is God who created all things, and we know that there is no power but that power which comes of God. Satan could not possibly have risen up in power against God without God himself giving Satan the authority to do it. And just as Nebuchadnezzar's mind was restored at the end of seven times, so will Satan be brought back to the reality of God at the end of seven times. When seven times passes on the earth, then Satan will once again be returned to his senses, just as Nebuchadnezzar was, and will have to acknowledge that it is God who is the ultimate power, and that no man, angel, or any other creation has any power except that which God gives and allows. However, the problem for earth people is that this beast nature is also prevalent to all those who do not recognize that God is the supreme God and that Jesus Christ is Lord. You as a Christian recognize these things, but many, many people of earth do not. God is the supreme being, and you know this, but Satan has been able to pull the wool over most people's eyes and to convince them that the might and power of man or of a devil is great enough to overcome the power of God and to maintain a kingdom on earth without the help of God. Satan is ignorant. He is completely in the dark, and his darkness almost completely prevails on earth except for the remnant of God's faithful children. However, Satan's beast nature is a great temptation to the people of earth, and Christians are no exception to this. Christians are also tempted greatly to fall into the unrighteousness of Satan's beast nature instead of remaining true to God. All of us who love God are bombarded with Satan's lies on a constant basis. Satan continually lies to us and uses every weapon at his disposal to deceive us into putting on the beast nature of this world instead of the nature of Christ. And his greatest tool of deception is the image of the beast which the people of earth have been caused to create in these last days. The images which are projected on the television and movie screens are not the righteous nature of God. Even the nightly news is packed with the world's secular view of life. God, if he is even mentioned on the news, is usually downgraded, and Christians have become the focus of slapstick humor. The images on the screen depict the nature of Satan, and day after day, night after night, they continue to bombard Earth with a social perspective that looks at life from Satan's viewpoint instead of from the perspective of God's Word. And remember, the image of the beast that we people of earth have created also speaks. In all the history of this world, it has only been in these last days that images could make sound. In the Old Testament, the images were mute. They were unable to move or speak. But when the hindrance to Satan was finally removed, as referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Satan was allowed to catapult our world from horse and buggy days into a computerized state of wonder and amazement. The deception is great, and most Christians do not yet realize what has actually taken place. The church has been lulled into thinking that this could not possibly be happening because it doesn't present itself in a way that we have generally been taught. But that is the exact same thing that occurred in the time of Jesus. The nation of Israel looked for the coming Messiah, but when he came, the people could not recognize him because they had interpreted the prophecies of Scripture as describing an earthly king instead of Jesus Christ as the King of all kings in a heavenly kingdom. It was Jesus Christ who was a stumbling stone to the Jews because they could not comprehend the spiritual kingdom that Jesus was presenting to them. It is the same concept in this current day. There is an automatic rejection of the possibility that the image of the beast could really take place in our day. the secular perspective of prophecy is unaware of the spiritual meaning which the Bible speaks of in symbolic terms. But make no mistake, the image of the beast is here, and it speaks, and it is extremely deceptive, causing even Christians to begin to look at Scripture from the worldly, secular point of view. But while most of the people of this world walk around with scales on their eyes, God is calling His people to open up their eyes and to begin to see what is happening to them. People everywhere watch TV, just as Revelation 13:16 explains. Rich or poor, great or small, it makes no difference. Satan enters into every house on earth, even into kings' houses. And in this way, Satan invades the minds of everyone. Unless you've separated yourself from these images, you are subject to the influence of Satan's nature through them. The brainwashing takes place continually. And because of the nature of the images, it is extremely destructive. Until these last days, pictures or images were stationary. They couldn't speak, but now the images have taken on the form of life itself. You look at the screen and you can't tell the difference from real life and picture. The actors and actresses on the screen are as plain to the eye as the person sitting next to you. The violence, the nudity, the blaspheming of God's name are as real as if it was actually taking place in your living room. But even more diabolical is the deception that you can take part in the viewing of these things and still think that you aren't actually taking part in the action. But it is a plain, simple fact that the spirit of the beast nature is the same, whether you're playing make-believe or not. When the name of God is blasphemed on the television, it is still entering your ears the same as if someone had spoken it directly to you. When the people disrobe on the screen, you see the same thing as if you were in the same room with them. You can claim that it's only make-believe if you want to, but this is exactly what Satan wants. The whole world is being deceived by this demonic tool, but it shouldn't be so for Christians. Christians should know better. But just as the nation of Israel was deceived by idols, Christians are also deceived by the images. The church seems to think that it isn't being deceived like Israel was, but the church is playing out the same exact history that Israel lived in the Old Testament. We're blinded, just as they were blinded, and it will take a showdown on Mount Carmel before most of the people will be shown once again who really is the Almighty God. Just as God demonstrated His power on Mount Carmel for Elijah, God will also demonstrate His power in these last days. When this happens, you just might find yourself saying the exact same words that the people of Israel said on that day. When the true fire of God fell on that day, the people exclaimed in awe, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" On that day, God restored the people to understanding, and the priests and prophets of Baal were killed. However, you must remember that God had spoken to Elijah and told him that there were 7,000 people who had remained true to God and had not bowed to the image of Baal. Just as there were 7,000 in that day that God had reserved to Himself, there is also a remnant in these last days. I don't know if you're one of the remnant of this current day that God has reserved unto Himself, but I hope you are. However, either way, it's time for God's children to come out from among the people of this world and actually become a separate people. We need to be a peculiar people. We need to be different. We shouldn't be wallowing in the same earthly delights as the wicked do, and we shouldn't be subjecting ourselves to the nature of evil that depicts the beast side of Satan. We need to be a current day nation of God's chosen people who are not mingling ourselves with the nations nor worshiping their false gods. As we come closer to the day when Jesus Christ returns in the clouds of heaven, we need to realize that the prophecies given to us are unfolding before our very eyes. Of course, unless the scales come off, your eyes will remain blind. And Satan wants you to be as blind as he is. There's no light in the devil, only darkness. If you allow yourself to be subject to the continual brainwashing of Satan's lies, which come through the image of the beast nature, on the screens of your movies and on the TVs, you will eventually succumb to his lies and will begin to interpret God's word from a worldly perspective. This is what is really destroying the church of today. It is time for the church to come out before it is too late.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
I mentioned that Elijah had come and there had been a showdown on Mount Carmel. At this time, God had demonstrated that He was the only God who could actually bring fire down from heaven. But it's an interesting thing that this same concept is referred to again in Revelation 13, which indicates that the second beast can bring fire down from heaven. Now, if Satan couldn't do it on Mount Carmel through his priests of Baal, then you must ask yourself, how can he do it in these last days? Why does the Bible tell us this, indicating that now he can do it? This notable miracle of the second beast causing fire to come down from heaven is very unsettling. But remember, Satan works in this world through carnal means. It is through the powers of earth that he works, and not through the power of God. God is a spirit, and can do anything just by speaking his word. But Satan has been blinded by his beast nature and has become just a prince of the power of the air. It is by the natural course of earth that he works, and not by the spiritual power of God. And it is through this power of the air that the second beast has been able to cause the people of earth to create the image of the beast, and therefore this creation of the image that can both move and speak is only accomplished by the invention of electrical force. It is by harnessing the fire of the heavens that electricity can be used to empower mankind. Mankind has developed electricity into a force which funnels the combined minds of Earth's people into a community of scientific and technological invention never even thought of in the first few thousand years of Earth's history. The modern-day inventions of Earth's people has produced much more than bows and arrows and clay tablets. Earth is empowered with every electrical device imaginable. Not only do we have moving images that can display lifelike forms and speak just like a man, but we have horseless carriages that can make the buggy days seem like the days of Neanderthal. We have computerized everything and spaceships traveling beyond our own solar system. Medical science is at an all-time high, and most people are actually beginning to believe that God will soon no longer be needed. This is the result of the second beast bringing fire down from heaven, and, interestingly enough, it is the image of Baal all over again. Baal was the major god of the Babylonians, and his badge of authority was the lightning bolt. It was his weapon, and he was considered the god of lightning. Elijah is what is needed in these last days to demonstrate to the world that it is only the God of heaven who can really control the fire. Satan thinks he's doing something great, and so do many of the people of earth. But very soon, and probably sooner than you think, God is going to step in and destroy the might and power of man and will demonstrate that the only power on earth is the same power that rules heaven. Satan will have been taught an unending lesson which will stand for all eternity. And if you're in bed with the world, you will be taught that same lesson too. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You can play with the beast nature of this world if you want to, but very soon that beast nature will disappear from the face of the earth. All those who have that nature will find that they've been duped by the devil, and their torture will begin. And it will last forever.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 116, The Image Is Here. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.